The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome. Whoops, hang on there. Gotta turn that back up. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the show. I am grateful that the Rockies played yesterday. Dave, the intrepid producer, also here as well, because I woke up yesterday at 4:30 in the morning. Apparently, my new thing is falling asleep great, staying asleep great, until exactly 4:27, at which point my eyes will fly open. I look at the clock. It's 4:27 every day. I'm not even exaggerating. It's
ridiculous.
Sounds
like Groundhog Day.
I am the most punctual insomniac in the world. Okay?
Wow.
Seriously. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. Let me reenact it for you since you can see me, Dave, and you can describe what happens. Okay, here I'm sleeping.
Sleeping. Hey, it looks like she's nice, peaceful sleep. Oh, eyes pop open.
And I am mad about the mask mandate from Tri-County Health. I am mad, Dave. Immediately. I woke up just super angry yesterday. Super angry for a variety of reasons. Yeah, but super angry for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is I went back and listened to the interview with Dr. John Douglas. I'm working on a blog post, a standalone blog post, to specifically address every scientific thing that we talked about, including the studies that he offered as justification versus the studies that I offered for justification. And I'm getting down and dirty with the methodology. I mean, I was so mad. It's probably good I didn't have a show yesterday because I might have cursed. I might have cursed on the radio. Because that's how mad I was, starting at 4:27 a.m. Today, actually, I was so mad yesterday, Chuck said, we have to go do something. So we went and did what everybody does to relieve stress when they're infuriated about something. We went and played putt-putt golf. Because really, it just takes it out. It was delightful. I shot well under par on the second game. Shot par on the first game, mind you. Well under par on the second game. And Chuck won the first game, and I killed him on the second game. So all in all, it was a great day. Great day.
So you didn't have a tiebreaker?
Nah. It got hot. It got hot.
It was pretty warm, yeah.
Yeah, we were in the Springs. You guys, I have a horrible, like, chest congestion thing happening right now, and I'm relatively certain it's just smoke and crap that I've been breathing in being outside. So bear with me if I disappear to hack up along. I'll make sure to turn my microphone down. So Dave, get your vamping shoes on today.
Uh-oh.
Okay? I need you. So good news, though, on the blog, which why don't we just look at the blog, and then I'll tell you what's on there. Find the blog by going to koanewsradio.com, looking for anything that says Mandy Connell, or look for the headline that says Mandy's Thursday blog, Dougco leaves Tri-County, and I wonder why a girl is fighting. Click on that, and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, Dougco said no thank you to Tri-County's edicts. Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas joins me to talk about it at 1:35. Where's the news coverage of the student walkouts yesterday about that masks are no big deal thing? Casper Stockham wants to shoot with you. I've been slacking on reminding you about Grant's podcast. The culture of violence on full display. The grand jury indicted everyone in the Elijah McClain case. Looking for something to do this weekend? Now, urging white people to commit suicide is an answer to white supremacy. Demands for transparency ended when Trump left office. Breakthrough infections are rare and not serious in vaccinated people. Don't hate the fidgeter. Nike gives employees the week off to de-stress. Now, 10 politically correct words you should stop using right now. If you eat someone else's chewy, you need to say sorry. PolitiFact can fact-check this letter, accusing it of bias. And rogue antibodies could explain why some people get sicker from COVID. Those are the headlines on the blog at koanewsradio.com on the Mandy Connell page. So, Dave, I just told you needed to vamp. I've got two of Grant's podcasts today described on the blog. I forgot to tell you that last week he interviewed Jerry Schimmel. And I got to tell you, if you don't know Jerry Schimmel's story or you just know Jerry from calling the Rockies games, Jerry is one of the most remarkable human beings I have ever had the occasion to know. He is one of the nicest, most genuinely nice people that you will ever meet. He's just a fantastic guy. And Grant's interview with him is outstanding. And if you've not heard it, then you need to go check it out. And then this week's podcast, the Taking It For Granted podcast, he interviewed Ben Glover, who's a Grammy Award-winning songwriter and producer. And it's if you haven't heard Grant's podcast, the reason I keep talking about it, there's two reasons. Number one, I started out this show by telling you how mad I was yesterday, right? Grant's podcast has the exact opposite effect. That's why I listened to the Jerry Schimmel podcast yesterday. Because I was like, you know what I need? I started singing Always Look on the Bright Side, but it didn't work. And so then I went to Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie. That also failed. So then I just turned on Grant's podcast and listened to the interview with Jerry Schimmel. And by the end of it, you kind of have a different perspective. And perspective is might be one of the new themes that I'm focusing on. Because I was talking to my friend Kelly Maher today. And she is working on a new project that is really a passion project and a labor of love for her. And I'm talking about it on the air, so she has to do it. I'm, you know, if you know Kelly, go ahead and call her and say, yeah, Mandy's talking about you. She is my friend who lived on her little small farm for a year, just nothing else. But, you know, Kelly and I were talking and she recounted a story of her young son, very young. He wanted to know how a dishwasher worked. You know, Dave, we're adults. We don't think about this. This is one of the great things about having kids around because they remind you of the wonder of things. Okay. The dishwasher is a source of great aggravation in my house. Who's going to load it? Who's going to unload it? Who's going to reload it after we load it? That would be Chuck. He'll go in and reload the whole thing. I don't understand.
I'm with Chuck. I understand him.
I can't with that. So now I just haphazardly throw crap in there because I know it's going to be moved later anyway. What's the point in even making an effort? But that's all.
Everything has its proper place.
Yeah. So the dishwasher has become a source of great irritation. But her young son said, how does a dishwasher work? So she goes to the YouTube, as we all parent our children via YouTube these days, and I'm not even exaggerating about that, finds a video of how a dishwasher works inside. And her young son was like, wow, that is amazing. And she was like, you know what? Kind of is amazing. That when we were back in college and we hated washing dishes, that was the most onerous task, right? Standing at the sink, washing, drying, all that. It was just horrible. Then we get a dishwasher and we can't even appreciate the fact that all we have to do is slap the dishes in the dishwasher. So when you change your perspective, you change your ability to look at things with wonder. And you change your ability to see the positives in a situation instead of seeing the negatives. So I'm rolling this around. And that's actually, Dave sent me some really good stories and columns that pertain to President Biden's complete mishandling of the Afghanistan situation, made only more egregious by his insanely misguided and completely off the mark speech that he gave, where he basically was like, everything is awesome, right? I mean, I understand wanting to change your perspective, but it still has to be grounded in reality. And I think that speech, because I didn't watch it, it was on while we were on the air and I didn't take it. I was like, I'm not taking this. But I watched it later. I was genuinely, let me ask you this question, Dave. And I don't want to go in a big long rabbit hole about this because I was actually not going to talk about this today because I want to have a nice day because I'm happy today. Happy news out of Douglas
Remember
County.
Remember Grant's podcast.
Yes.
Remember that.
Yes. Always look on. Okay. Anyway.
Always listen to Grant's podcast.
Anyway. But no, you sent me that and I went back and I looked at the speech. Do you think he believes the words that are coming out of his mouth? That's what I really can't figure out. Because if he does, then he's utterly and completely delusional. Because what he said does not match the reality of what is still, by the way, still going on. There are still airlifts out of Afghanistan as retired commandos are going in to rescue their former coworkers in Afghanistan. They're doing it outside, extrajudicial, as they call it, outside of the U.S. government, who has simply just left the scene. I mean, they've left the building. Do you think he believes it?
I don't know. And I'll tell you, I saw an article on the 25th Amendment and how that works. Joe Biden is incompetent and unable because of mental problems or whatever to continue as president, that's the method of removing a president in that case. Do you know who has to initiate the 25th Amendment?
Isn't it the Speaker of the House? Who?
Nope. The Vice President.
shut the front door. Now, that seems like it would be open for a coup in a way, don't you think?
Don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Kamala, gosh, always wanted to be president. Here's your chance.
Dave, do you think that when Kamala is talking about this, she's like, and then, and then, and then this, the president is completely lost his mind. We could just, well, we could just have the 25th Amendment and have him removed from office. That's my impression of what Kamala's talking to her friends about right now.
That's something to consider, because as bad as Biden is, could you listen to her laughing during every speech she makes about serious issues?
I know that people... No, I could not. I know that people hated Trump. I get it. I've talked about it. We've beaten that horse to death. But I think there was a lot of comfort in Mike Pence being vice president. Like, I really believe that for a lot of people, people were like, okay, you know what? If things get really awful, Mike Pence seems like a reasonable guy, okay? He's conservative, but he's rocks. He's, you know, Kamala does not give the same feeling. And it's not only because she is literally the most liberal senator in the United States Senate when she was there. More liberal than Bernie Sanders. I mean, what is that? What is that? So this is going to be a bad 3.5 years. I will tell you something that's, okay, I wasn't going to talk about all this stuff today, and now I'm in deep here. I'll leave it on this, and we'll come back to it at a later date, because it's not going away. And that is, there are now so many leaks out of this White House about this that you are starting to see the rats jump off the ship. They are not going to be left holding the bag on this, and they're going to make sure that Joe Biden gets blamed for every single bit of it. What does that say about how Democrats feel about his administration? Because all of these people that are leaking are Democrats. I mean, all of them. So what does that say? People love to make hay about leaks out of the Trump administration. Well, you know, all these people are leaking. Well, those were the same Democrats who have been a part of the White House staff for forever. Not everything changes over when a new administration comes in. That's the whole deep state notion. And I hate using the phrase deep state, but there's really not a better phrase for the entrenched bureaucracy that exists in Washington, D.C., which is overwhelmingly Democratic. Overwhelmingly. They work for government. They want bigger government. They want bigger budgets. They want more job security. They want to do all the things they want. And the Democratic Party has promised to deliver on that over and over and over again on their behalf. So they're solidly Democratic. So the people that are leaking are not Republicans. I mean, they're just not. So it's going to be very, this is not going away. I think Biden really thought we'd be moved on by now, and it's not going away.
And well, we still have Americans in Afghanistan. How can it go away?
Yeah. And I believe I've heard from multiple people that there are multiple articles of impeachment that are being prepared. I don't put any stock in that, because unless the Democratic establishment decides that in order to save their party, they have to sacrifice this president, and they will. There's no way impeachment will move forward. There just isn't. I think there's a better chance on the 25th Amendment than impeachment.
That's what the articles seem to indicate.
So we'll see what happens on that one. I mean, it's a friend of Chuck's who lives in Wales. He's Welsh. And he did not like Donald Trump at all, because he was brash and mouthy and tacky. He was everything loud American that Europeans hate about Americans, right? That was Donald Trump in a nutshell. He was the loud, brash American. Well, boy, howdy, have the Brits turned on Joe Biden. Let me just say, our special relationship across the pond has been completely and utterly destroyed by this administration. They are not happy with him at all. That's neither here nor there, though. Let me get back to the blog, because we have a ton of stuff on the blog. And coming up at 1:30, I am thrilled to have Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas join me, because yesterday, Douglas County commissioners in a work meeting voted to exit Tri-County Health because Tri-County Health violated an agreement that Douglas County had struck with Tri-County last year that any public health orders would have an opt-out provision that would allow the county to make a decision for themselves on whether or not they wanted to issue that public health order. And obviously, a few days ago, Dr. John Douglas and the team over there at Tri-County voted to end the opt-out mandate in order to shove children into masks at their will. So I don't know, and this is what I want to talk to Commissioner Thomas about. I don't know what this means for schools, like specifically charter schools, because Douglas County School District's superintendent, Corey Wise, was tasked the decision to decide whether or not to mandate masks in schools. And he decided to mandate masks in schools. And he was done it. By the way, that was done that way because superintendent in Douglas County is not an elected position. The school board is an elected position, and there's four of them up for re-election in this election cycle. And they knew that if they made the decision, it would hurt their chances of getting re-elected even further. And so they tossed it off on the unelected superintendent, who has now taken the heat for it. But I fully blame the Douglas County School Board. Ultimately, it should be at their feet. And they shoved it off in a desperate attempt to not take responsibility for any of their choices. And I have a link to the four candidates that I would prefer you support in Douglas County. I'm not endorsing them because everyone I endorse loses, but I would prefer if you would vote for them. And we're going to talk to Laura Thomas about what this means for charter schools that do not necessarily operate under the control of Douglas County's school board. Because there's a lot of charter school parents who want to know, and I'm sure a lot of charter schools that are looking for clarity and clarification. We're going to talk to her at 1:35. And I don't know if you guys knew this, because there was very little news coverage. There were walkouts at multiple Douglas County high schools yesterday. Thunder Ridge High School made the news on CBS, and I did not see anyone on television. I might have missed it. I looked this morning, so if you work for TV and you covered this story, I apologize. But I looked this morning and couldn't find it. There was a walkout at Legend High School that was significant, one at Rock Canyon High School, one at Ponderosa High School. And what I wonder is, remember when all the kids walked out over union contracts, Dave, and how much media coverage those kids got? Weird, huh? Weird.
Well, this is not something supported by the teachers' union, so they're correct. Not telling their teachers to get those kids out in the streets.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Let's check in with Susan Witkin. When we come back, I'm going to go zipping through the blog because it is huge. And I have a guest coming up at 1 o'clock, Casper Stockham. His organization, America First Republicans, is having a very cool shoot at Kiowa Creek Sporting Club on September 11th. He's going to come on at 1 and talk about that. Susan Witkin, what do you have in the news?
Hello, hello, hello. This Labor Day weekend has a lot of employers trying to figure out how to hire more workers. And some employees are experiencing video burnout. Well, are you experiencing that, Mandy and Dave? You guys are...
No, I never want to be around people again. You know this. I mean, never. I'm just in a hermetically sealed bubble at this point. I've become a bubble person.
I know. I do miss seeing your lovely face.
I know.
12:30 right here, KOE News Radio. At least your face in person. 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome back. Very, very interesting. Somebody just pointed out something. The CDC is now counting COVID-19 deaths as unvaccinated deaths if they die within 14 days of the vaccine. That's interesting. Another reason I don't trust the CDC anymore. Couple things on the Centauri Health text line. You can always text us at 56690. Mandy, where's your list of candidates for the Doug Coe School Board? It is part of the very first paragraph of today's blog. You'll see a link that is actually highlighted. It says, if you don't like that, be sure and vote for this slate of candidates for school board to change that. That you click on that, that's going to take you to the link for the Kids First slate of candidates. I've met three of them. I am super impressed, and they will get my vote, and I'm going to actively campaign for them within my community as well. And I have to address this text message really quickly. And it says, what a shock that you will ignore what is by far the largest randomized mass study to date released and widely acknowledged yesterday. Not only did I see this study, I read this study. And if you are hanging your hat on the alleged science of this study, you are an ignoramus who did not click through and read the study in question. This study is so bad that its own results contradict themselves. It is done on a group of this study, I'm actually working on a standalone blog post on this study alone. It's that bad. It's that bad. Do you know where it was published? Oh, it was published by an organization no one's ever heard of. They couldn't get it published anywhere else, not even as a pre-published, because it's so bad. It's horrible. It shouldn't even, this, if you turn this in as a high school project, you should fail. All of high school. Okay? So I love it that someone's like, I didn't ignore it. Oh, I read the whole thing. You should go back and read it too. You really should. I know you can read because you text so obnoxiously all the time. Anyway, back to the blog because we've got Casper Stockham coming up at 1 o'clock. Let's see. Oh, Dave, does this video show up on there's a space for the video that
yes,
should be.
Yes, I saw that.
It does. Okay, on mine it will not show up and I don't
know. No, it won't show on mine either.
It won't show. Okay, I'm going to have to go back and put in a link. Ross Kaminsky, my fellow talk show host from our sister station, KHOW, sent me an image or a video, and I'll put a link to his site because I know you can see it there. It's from Eastside High School, and it is a fight between two girls, and that in and of itself is not remarkable. Dave, did you have girl fights when you were in high school? Was that a thing back then?
We always hope for them because we like to watch them.
Yeah, we had girl fights in my high school. Girl fights were a semi-regular occurrence, as were boy fights, and they all went like this. Two people start fighting, students gather around to egg them on, teachers pretty immediately come in, break everything up, pull the students off each other, and we all go about our business. Well, this girl fight at Eastside High School was a little bit different because in it, you can hear the girl who is the larger girl on top of the smaller girl beating the crap out of her, you can hear her father's voice egging her on in the background. Oh, yeah. Stay classy, Eastside High School. Stay classy. This is not, I wish it was surprising. It's not at all surprising because we live in a culture where there are enough human beings out there who glamorize I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? They make violence a normal part of life. And by the way, in this video, the girl on the ground actually gets kicked in the face by her aggressor. These are high school girls. That's the point where I was like, wait a minute. And to make it even worse, no one called the cops. Nobody did anything. As far as we know, the school wasn't even planning to discipline this girl who beat the crap out of the other girl. Well, her dad cheered her on. That man should never be allowed on campus again. He has to be banned and trespassed and protective order, get off and never come back again. Because that's insane. Yeah, Dave.
Let's speculate on the history of this event. Man is bully, gets married, has daughter, brings up daughter to be bully. Daughter starts fight at East High School, beats up girl, father bully, comes and cheers her on because what else would a father do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe try to be a decent human being.
If you're a bully father, though. That's what you do. Yeah. That's what the value you have, and that's what you've instilled in your daughter, and you cheer her on when she exhibits it.
That's the most horrifying part about this, to me, is the dad. And Ross, I know, made hay about it on his show today, and I'm interested to see. You know who would have been helpful here, Dave, at East High School, is perhaps a school resource officer? You know, maybe if there had been a school resource officer on campus that... this may have been a different situation, but since Tay Anderson was so successful in getting school resource officers out of DPS, I'm assuming there was not an SRO on campus that could have protected this young girl who got the crap beat out of her. I'm just guessing, you know, since Tay was so
successful.
And
what are the consequences for this girl? Have we heard?
Well, there are clear rules and guidelines in place for fighting on campus. What I disagree with, and of course, I don't know the backstory. I don't know anything of what happened or transpired between these two girls. So I don't know if one of them, you know, I have no clue what the backstory is. But this this policy that we have in our schools now, where it's zero tolerance for fighting, so if there's any fighting, both kids get kicked out, is garbage. Absolute garbage. That is the job of the principal or the vice principal to ferret out the truth to the best of their ability. And if you really can't ferret out the truth, then suspend both kids maybe. But usually one kid is the aggressor and the bully and they need to be dealt with and the other kid needs to just go back to class.
Exactly.
And that's when the boys were little, our oldest son got into a fight, right? And Chuck went down to the school because he gets called to the office and he talked to his son first and he said, hey, you know, what happened? And our oldest son had seen our younger son getting bullied and he jumped in to protect him. And he told his dad this and his dad said, okay, if that's what happened, then good job. And they went into the office and he asked to speak to the other parent and the principal without the kids present. And the principal said, no, we're not doing that. And so Chuck just said, okay, buddy, good job protecting your brother in front of the other kid. And the parents are like, I don't know why this is a problem. If you're going to let the other kid bully my other son, then yeah, he's going to get taken out. But now if there's any kind of confrontation, both kids get kicked out. That's nonsensical. You're essentially saying to the victim, don't fight back because then you're for sure going to be kicked out of school. And that's just going to embolden the bullies and make it harder for the kids who are being bullied. And I got to tell you, I know I'm not alone. When I tell my daughter, if anybody lays hands on you, you fight with every fiber of your being. Anybody. I don't care if they're 12. I don't care if they're 30. I don't care if they're 50. Anybody lays their hands on you in an aggressive way, you try to kill them. Because that's just, I'll back you up. We'll take care of it later. I'm over it. I mean, we're telling kids to just like lay down and let people roll over them. That's not productive in life. It just isn't.
It's not even that bad. I mean, this girl... I don't know how the fight started, but theoretically it could have been she's walking along. The other kid knocks her down, jumps right on her, starts kicking her in the face. What alternative does the other child have?
Right.
Other than being beaten up.
Yeah.
And or again, running away if possible.
We don't know the circumstances of this. And I really shared it more because we need to recognize that there are parents out there. And it's not just here because these videos, like in Louisville, Kentucky, we had a situation years ago, and they Louisville buses kids all over the county to failing schools. And I'm saying Louisville, Kentucky, not Louisville, Colorado. And there was an incident one day where a mother of a student dragged the bus driver off of the bus and beat the crap out of her. I mean, so you want to know where these kids get it. This guy is showing you exactly where they get it. So when we talk about what we need to do the kids, what do we need to do this guy? I mean, good grief.
Look at parents at sporting events.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that when they scream, yell at umpires, start fights with their, you know, what a wonderful example in front of your children.
Exactly. And they don't care. They don't care because to your point, Dave, they were bullies growing up. They're still bullies now, and they want to raise their kids to be bullies. And I think that parents who have that mindset really believe that they are helping their kid not get steamrolled by life because they have no coping skills. They're determined to give their children the same lousy coping skills that they have. And I really think that there are parents out there who think they're helping their kid by doing this. Because, I mean, this guy's literally cheering on his daughter by saying, beat her blank. Beat her blank. I mean, it's just, it's embarrassing.
Sickening is what it is.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I don't even understand this tweet. Dave, I think this person is very confused about what the show is. Let me read the tweet to you. You said it all. You don't know how it started. You don't know the consequences and you don't know much. Yep, this is conservative news, all right. Lots of opinions and not many facts. Keep it up, Mandy. Let me break it down for you. At the top of the hour, like when it's 00 on the hour, and at 30 of the hour, we have a segment that is called news. And Susan Witkin does it for us most days. Some days Joel Hillen sits in. Some days other people sit in, but mostly it's Susan. And during that segment, she presents the why, what, when, you know, that kind of thing, the actual news stories. And then the other parts of the show where I talk, I'm Mandy Connell, I do the other parts of the show, that is opinion. See, that's different. That's We talk about the news, but in an opinion-based way. See, I hope that helps clarify clarify everything for you. And I think I was issuing that caveat because I did not want to automatically assign guilt because I don't have all the details. See the, how that works? You try to use rational thought and logic. I realize that's a challenge, but you can do it if you try really hard. Just buckle down. The grand jury has indicted everyone in the Elijah McClain case. I want to talk about this today, and I don't know when. The Elijah McClain case is horrible. And it's horrible because I don't think that there's any clear evidence anywhere that what happened in the death of Elijah McClain was based on hatred or racism or any kind of nefarious action by police officers and EMTs who were maliciously trying to end the life of Elijah McClain. I think what happened with Elijah McClain is horrible. I think he was a young man who viewed and acted in the world differently, not harmfully, just differently. And because of that, and because I think of maybe not really good training for EMTs on the use of ketamine, he's dead. And I understand the desire to hold someone accountable, but there's a lot of indictments, and I'll be shocked if any of these stick. I mean, intent is a big deal, you guys. If you didn't learn that from Hillary Clinton, by the way, she didn't intend to break the law, so she was okay. This story's awful. Everybody wants justice, but what does that even look like in this case? And we'll see what happens when these cases go to trial. And if I were one of these law enforcement officers or the EMT, I would fight every bit. I would fight every step of the way. Because I don't think that, from what I've seen, and I've watched the body camera video, and it's horrible. It's just horrible. But it's one of those horrible just moments in time where mistakes were made and a life was lost, and it's a tragedy. And I don't necessarily think that this is going to end up with the result that people want, which is they're going to create more. It's very, very frustrating. Let me see what time it is. When we get back, we've got Douglas County Commissioner Casper Stockham is joining me next. He's got a very cool event coming up on September 11th, and we're going to talk to him. And then we'll have Commissioner Thomas at 1:35 to talk about Doug Coe's separation from Tri-County Health. So all that's coming up next. And now during the news portion of the show, let's talk to our news person, Susan Witkin, who just tells us the news and not opinion, just the news right there, the news with Susan Witkin. Susan, our news person.
What are you talking about?
About me? No, somebody sent an obnoxious text about, you know, this, my show being the news. So I had to explain. Like, in your lane, mm-hmm. you're in the news lane of this show, and I am in the not news lane of this show. I'm in the opinion lane of the show. So I wanted to help him out, this texter.
You know,
obviously confused.
It's like a newspaper. You get to be on the editorial page.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Susan.
And I'm all the other stuff, except for the comics.
You.
Well, sometimes we're in the comics together.
Yes, and we always like to just make up horoscopes, because why wouldn't we?
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Or the Ask Susan and Mandy.
Yeah. Oh my God, could you? That would be the best advice column ever.
But yes, in my news lane, heading into the Labor Day weekend, we have an important reminder from the governor. And yes, it is COVID related. 1 o'clock right here, KOE News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second hour of the show. I'm pleased as punch to have one of my favorites, Casper Stockham, back on the show. Casper, welcome back, my friend. How you doing?
It's good to be with you.
Well,
absolutely.
I haven't seen you much in a while. You're running around. You got American, or excuse me, America First Republicans going on right now. Tell me about that for a second, for a hot minute here.
Yes, absolutely. So back in January, we launched America First Republicans, and we are a grassroots organization training up candidates to run for office. And it doesn't matter what office they're running for, anywhere from school board to county commissioner to Congress or U.S. Senate. We are training candidates. We trained over 50 candidates already. Our goal is 250 for the year. However, we're a little behind schedule for that.
Let me ask you a question about this, and we're going to come back to that. But I would love to see people focus their attention on those smaller local races. And I'm going to point out school board is a huge deal right now, and people are really beginning to understand why it is super important to not just pay attention to the names that are chalkboard painted on the back of a minivan, but actually look into the candidates and find out what they believe in and what they think. And I think that sometimes when people start to say, you know what, I want to get involved, they jump, they go, okay, well, I'm going to run for, I met a guy running for the U.S. Senate and I'm going to have him on the show. He was super nice, but I'm thinking, why aren't you running for a local office in your community? Because those offices are really in some ways more important than those federal offices that are so appealing. Are you guys working on that stuff too?
Oh, yeah. All politics are local. Most of our candidates are running for the local offices. That's what I'm saying. So we have candidates running for those local offices as well as some of the larger offices as well. Some of the ones that have just come out announcing their candidacy are Eric Odlin. He's running for U.S. Senate. And then Jules Gray is running in City 8 for Congress. But we have several other candidates running for smaller offices, a school board, county commissioner, and so forth.
Because I think that, and a lot of times people really do let that stuff, and you want to know why your community is going to hell in a handbasket, look directly at your local leadership or not leadership, I guess we should
100%.
Say. Why did you create, other than the training, why you called it America First Republicans? Why that title? Why that now?
Well, after the last race, and some of your audience may know, I run for Congress a few times, and after the last loss, I started to really analyze what was going on, and we didn't have really any candidate training on our side. The Democrats have all kinds of training on their side, like Emerge and some of the other organizations, and they train up women to be socialists and Marxists. So we needed something on our side to kind of counteract that. Now, we're just getting started, but in another 5 or 10 years, we're going to be a major force for producing and supporting candidates as they run for public office. So that's why we started it. And we're trying to come up with the name. I don't know why Republicans are running away from America First, because President Trump didn't create that name. It's a great name. You know, we shouldn't be focusing on America First. If we're Americans, we should be focused on that. So, and we're not trying to replace the Republican Party, but we are trying to come up with solutions that the party is not providing.
You know, Casper, I think that the whole concept of America First, for some people, feels like America only. And there's a difference between America First and America First. And then, hey, we're going to help you guys out, but we're going to look out for our own people first. And okay, we're going to only look out for America. Those are two different things. And I think that the way that they've just been mashed together and one has been used as a weapon against the other, Americans remain. And I looked this up about a week and a half ago. We, as private citizens in the United States of America, when there is a massive event, a massive natural disaster, a massive incident, we personally, as citizens, send more money than a vast majority of other governments do. When you break down the giving that we as Americans do. So it's not, and you look at the way Americans are reacting to what's happening in Afghanistan. It's not just about getting the Americans out. It's about, what about those Afghans who helped us for the last 20 years? Right. So we know we're a compassionate people. And I would love to see your organization and others really begin to push forth the notion that when we put America first, it's kind of like when you're on an airplane and they tell you to put your oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it on somebody else. If we collapse as a nation, we're not going to be around to help anybody else around the world. And that's a big deal. So we got to stay, we got to keep it. We got to put ourselves first so we can help everybody else. Honestly, I feel that way very strongly. So I'm glad you adopted that message. I'm really glad.
Yeah. So, absolutely. The other side are masters at vilifying names.
Right.
You know, they vilified the Tea Party, and now, you know, the Tea Party is not that effective. You know, they vilified conservatism, and now they're trying to vilify America First. So if we allow them to continue that, you know, that's on us.
I agree wholeheartedly. Let's talk about the event coming up on September 11th. First of all, it's one of my, we have two incredibly good sporting clays courses in the Denver metro area. Kiowa mm-hmm. Creek, love this place. Like, I love this place. Let's talk about what's happening September 11th.
Yeah, so we actually have three events around September the 11th. We have one on September 10th in the evening at Deep Space down in Parker. That's where we're starting out. It's going to be in the evening. It's going to be a remembrance. So we're going to have a lot of prayer. We're going to play some videos. And then Albert Guillory is going to be in town for the entire weekend to help us with this this fundraiser. So that's Friday evening. And then Saturday morning, starting at 7 a.m., we're going to have a breakfast from 7 to 8. It's a VIP breakfast. And then we're going to shoot from 9 to about 11-ish. And then we're going to have lunch. And Albert's going to be the keynote speaker. But we're going to be having a drawing for some weapons. You've got to have some, some good weapons involved. Right? We got AR-15. We got pistols and shotguns. And we're going to be having a drawing for. We're going to have a auction for a special pistol being designed by DCF Guns. It's going to be a custom cover pistol that's designed specifically for this event,
because
it's going to be a first annual AFR fundraiser we're going to do every year. So this is the first one. And then we have the last event is happening that evening in El Paso County. We're partnering up with the El Paso GOP, Vicky Tompkins, mm-hmm. and we're doing another remembrance event. So we have remembrance at Friday night, and we have the fundraiser Saturday morning, and the Saturday night another remembrance, because this is the 20th year anniversary of 9/11.
Well, what do you use these funds for when you do a fundraiser? Tell me, is this just to help train more candidates? What are you using this money for?
Absolutely. So we are a nonprofit organization, so we're just getting started with this process, but there's a lot we want to do, but we need funds to do it. So we have a location we are being gifted right now, basically by La Prensa, by the Prensa newspaper, but we need to have our own location. We need to be able to have classrooms so we can start training up a lot more candidates. You know, we need to have the materials and supplies we need to get this thing going, and, you know, be able to advertise a little bit and get the word out about what we're doing. So that takes money. You know, we need at least $350,000 just to have the basics met on a yearly basis.
Right.
And then if we have a lot more, we can do more.
All right, Casper, I put a link on my blog today where people can go. I took him right to the events page of America First Republicans so they can see all of the events that you have coming up. And if you guys have not seen former Congressman Guillory speak, what a powerful messenger of the greatness of the American dream. And when you hear him, because his own story is very compelling, and when you hear him talk about, as a black man who came up during the civil rights era, when you hear him talk about his experiences and what he's been afforded in this country, it's very, very inspirational. It's a very good reminder. We were talking about perspective earlier in the show. And what frustrates me about this moment in time that we're in right now, Casper, is that, not that everything is perfect now, by any stretch of the imagination. Right. It will never be perfect. Right. We are an imperfect society. We are imperfect people. But the younger people who are so angry all the time, they don't realize how far we have come. And that perspective, when you hear from a person who's kind of been through it a little bit, you hear that perspective, which is so needed right now. And again, I don't want to say, well, you know, everything sucked before, so now it's great. I mean, but you have to have perspective on the progress in order to know how much further we need to go. Realistically.
Yeah.
So he's a great speaker.
Yeah. Senator Guillory has been a tremendous supporter of mine over the years. And he obviously supports America First Republicans. He's in his late 70s and he was out during this last storm in Louisiana, obviously.
Oh, wow.
He was out delivering supplies and food and stuff to, you know, to the needy. So he's definitely active. He's excited to come out for a couple of days to hang out with us to help us raise funds for this event.
Well, I wish you much success. If people are remotely interested in sporting clays, it's one of my favorite things to do. I love it because you get to go shoot things and they blow up and it's awesome. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's just a fun, fun sport. So you can find a link so you can get signed up for, how much is it for people to enter? I should have asked you that.
So it's 75 for the ticket.
Okay.
They would have to bring their own gun or rent a gun at the location. And they are also responsible for their ammo. Mm-hmm. So they can also get that at the location as well.
Okay.
But it's 75 for the ticket. That includes lunch. It includes security. It includes hanging out with VIPs. And it's just a great time, as you have mentioned. I went out a couple of months ago and did shooting for the first time.
Oh.
And we had 100 rounds that we were supposed to shoot. Yeah. I got the 40.
And you were too tired? Well, what gauge shotgun did you use, Casper?
Oh, see, I'm not even sure, but
probably whatever. Let me just say this. Yeah. They probably gave you a 12 gauge because men automatically think you got to have a 12 gauge. Yeah. Reality, yeah. I shoot a 28 gauge, which is a much smaller barrel, and you don't get as much of a scatter. So you have to be aggressive when the bird comes out. But I can shoot a 28 gauge all day long. I could shoot a 20 gauge for like 5 minutes. Okay. You know, it's like, it's all a matter. Yeah. So maybe you need to come out and go shoot with me and you can shoot my gun and see if you like that. Cause it's
shoot
nice.
Shoot with the girls. That's probably
hey, you know what? I'll tell you something, Mr. Man. I went, and I'm hoping to bring a similar event here where we do one with the station. We're kind of working on that, but it got put off because of COVID. But I was getting some instruction from a Marine drill sergeant, firearms instructor. So that was all he did is he taught Marines how to shoot. And he worked with me for a couple hours and I was getting better and better. And he looked at me at the end of it. He said, I got to tell you, I would rather work with women all day long, because even if a man has never picked up a gun, he thinks he knows how to shoot it. Women will listen. And I was like, there you go. So, yeah, shoot like a girl, Casper. Women, come on. We'll welcome you.
Women follow instructions. Absolutely.
Casper Stockham, I really appreciate you. I appreciate that all that you are a tireless advocate for the conservative principles and the liberty movement. And I'm so glad you're out there doing what you're doing. And I hope you guys have a tremendously successful September 11th event. And looking forward to talking to you again soon about what's happening. How can people get in touch with you if they want to just sign up for one of the classes, or maybe they want some information about what that looks like running for office?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I forgot to mention, we have a new class starting up on the 25th of September this month.
Okay.
So they can still sign up for that. There's still plenty of room. It's in person and virtual at the same time. So it's live, virtual, and in person. And they can go to AmericaFirstRepublicans.us.
Okay.
That's AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. Just click on training. They can get information about our training events. And obviously click on events to get information about our fundraising events coming up here in about 8 days.
Fantastic. And again, I put that link on the blog so people can just go to my blog if they're driving and they can't remember that. Casper Stockham, it is a pleasure as always, my friend.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys.
All right. We'll see you soon. And let's see here. There we go. And in just a few minutes, we are going to have Laura Thomas coming on the show. She is a Douglas County commissioner, to talk about Tri-County Health and the fact that they have opted out there. But I have to go back to the blog because I don't have very much time in this show and I still have a lot of blog that I have left, and I've got 2 minutes, Dave, so we're going to squeeze some more in here. So interesting that demands for remember when everybody wanted the Trump team to be transparent, Dave? And Donald Trump would come out and give the long ranging press conferences. And then everybody got mad because he gave too much press conferences. And then Joe Biden got into office and he won't answer any questions. And now he just walks away from the microphone when he doesn't want to answer any questions. Remember those days? Those are awesome. Now somebody went back on the internet time machine and found a text message from White House spokesperson Jen Psaki. She demanded full transparency about President Trump's call with the Ukraine president. And yet, now that she's White House spokesperson, she will not answer questions about Joe Biden's call with the Afghan president, in which he urged the president to lie about the current situation on the ground in Afghanistan. Remember when that was an impeachable offense, Dave? Good times. Good times. Unmute yourself. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how much things change and that they stay the same at the same time.
If there's any possibility of becoming a White House press secretary, don't ever talk about transparency.
I don't think she saw that coming, but now she is sort of having to walk that back just a wee bit. And a great new study out of the United Kingdom. It is significant. It is massive and includes a lot of people and access to their medical records. And it shows that if you are vaccinated against the coronavirus, you are probably not going to get very sick and very unlikely to need hospitalization if you are vaccinated. Just more food for thought. But let's talk to Susan Witkin, find out what's coming up in her actual, this is the news section coming up, news portion.
Oh, are we still
show?
Describing to people that I'm just you're a talk show opinion
some,
host?
Some
I'm
people
the news
are slower
person.
Than others, Susan. Some people you have to really slow it down, you know?
I give the news. She gives the opinion. That's there what makes go. Us a great team.
Yep. There you go.
It
you
is
get the full Monty right here.
That's right. Oh, and the comic section, we leave that to Dave the Intrepid.
But all Dave's cartoons are like super smart that nobody gets, like the ones in the New Yorker.
I was just going to say, like the New Yorker.
Exactly.
Oh, and we do have a cooking section every now and again.
Uh-huh. There mm-hmm. you go.
The Sunday Google's special.
Our specialty. There you go. Mm-hmm. What do you have coming up in the news?
It's soon going to be easy to go to your own doctor to get the COVID vaccine. I've got the details for you at 1:30 right here. KOE News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
By Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas yesterday in a work meeting. The county commission voted unanimously to leave Tri-County Health after Tri-County sort of went back on an agreement we're going to get into in just a moment and decided to inflict a really onerous mask mandate on every child in school. First of all, Commissioner Thomas, welcome to the show. First of all,
thank you. This is exciting.
Well, I'm really glad you're here. And I've talked about the fact that I live in Douglas County and I tweeted out after I saw what you guys did at the meeting yesterday. I've never been happier to live in Douglas County than I am right now. So let's start in July of 2020, because let's go back to this kind of beginning of where this schism really started to occur. What happened last July with Tri-County Health, an organization that you've been Douglas County's been a part of for over six decades? What happened last July?
So Douglas County has been with Tri-County Health since 1966, when our population was 8,000. Mm-hmm. In July of 2020, Dr. Douglas told the commissioners in Douglas County he was not going to recommend a mandatory masking order for Douglas County because our numbers were low, but he was going to recommend a mandatory mask order for Adams and Arapahoe counties. Dr. Douglas went to his Board of Health because they direct his actions and his orders. That Board of Health has three members from Adams, three from Arapahoe, three from Douglas. These are citizens appointed to the Board of Health by the county commissioners. After Dr. Douglas made his recommendation, Julie Mullica, who is an Adams County representative, also on the North Glen City Council, made a recommendation to mask up all three counties. That was in direct opposition to the expert in the room's recommendation. That order passed on a 5-4 vote, so Douglas County got masked up. Dr. Douglas had put an opt-out, though, in that. So the next day, the Douglas County Commissioners convened in a posted meeting. We opted our citizens out of that mandatory mask order. I also made the motion, we should leave Tri-County Health. Let's give them a one-year notice. Roger Partridge, Abe Layden voted with me. So we sent Tri-County the statutory one-year notice. We are leaving you in a year. Tri-County came to us and said, you know, can we work anything out? Because they're a huge bureaucracy, right? They have a lot of employees on parapensions. And so we negotiated in good faith with them and said, you know, we're willing to stay with you until December of 2022. If you give us the ability to opt out of any public health order you make that we disagree with. Their Board of Health signed off on that on November 6th of 2020. So we've been going along, making progress, informing our own health department. We have been interviewing people, consultants to put on to help us form our own Board of Health. And then this week, the Board of Health opts out of the opt-out. They reneged on their deal that we had negotiated in good faith with them.
So this means, and I read a news story that said you guys have been advised by the county attorney that that letter to sever the relationship from last July is still in effect.
He believes that it is because we only rescinded our notice to withdraw because they made an offer that we agreed to opt out of their public health orders. Once they took that away, we feel that our notice to intent still stands. So we are going to have a resolution heard on Tuesday, that's September 7th. Yep, September 7th at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. The three Douglas County commissioners will discuss a resolution creating the Douglas County Health Department. That is step one on everything else we need to do. We will do that next Tuesday. Citizens are welcome to listen, to call in and comment.
A lot of people are saying that the impression, and I was operating under this impression that you guys looked at forming a health department last year and it kind of got tabled because of the cost. Does Douglas County have the money to do a public health department? Yeah.
You know, Mandy, it's all about choices. Mm-hmm. We have enough money in our coffers to make choices that are the best in place for our citizens. Let's be clear that the county commissioners authorized hiring three different private consultants that our staff have been working with for all of this year. We are laying out plans to start our own health department at the end of next year, but now we're just going to ramp that up. We already have been talking to consultants. We know how to do this. In fact, we are putting an RFP on the street this week to see if any private agencies, perhaps Kaiser Permanente, some organization like that, would like to bid on providing the nursing services for our health department. So that is already out on the street. We have been working on this for a year.
I just said on the show a little while earlier, I would love to see if there are areas in public health that could be successfully partnered with someone who already has an existing facility in terms of providing care if there are acute cases or just in, to your point, providing the staff. Because if they provide the nursing staff, that are fewer Douglas County employees that we have to then pay into para. I would love to see as many privatization options as we can get, because we all know that the private market usually functions a lot better, especially in medicine, than say Medicaid or some other options there. Let me ask you for clarification on what this means right at this moment, because what this all comes down to is school children. Okay. That's what this mask mandate that, and I find it really fascinating that the initial mask mandate out of Tri-County was for students age 2 to 11. Because those in theory cannot be vaccinated. And yet, when Douglas County opted out, they put in a more punitive mask mandate that requires everyone to be masked at the school. And I did not hear any scientific justification for that switch. Actually, in my interview with Dr. Douglas, I didn't hear a good justification for any of this. But I did not hear any scientific justification for that increase. So what does this mean right now at this moment for students in Douglas County?
Unfortunately, and again, I've been on the phone all morning with really irritated parents. I was going to use the P word. I'm not sure if I can say that on the radio.
I think we know what that P word is. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Douglas County commissioners do not have the authority to override a legal public health order by Tri-County Health. So that masking order for two-year-olds up is still in effect. It will be in effect maybe for 2 to 3 weeks. Let me explain how we need to do this. On Tuesday, the commissioners will approve a resolution standing up the Douglas County Health Department. We have 90 days then to appoint a Board of Health. I assure you it's not going to take us 90 days. I'm already looking at my list of who I want to negotiate with my fellow commissioners to put on that Board of Health. We then can put together a Board of Health and appoint them. In the meantime, we have staff working with Tri-County Health to let us leave their organization with some continuity of services for our citizens. We have already paid Tri-County Health for services through the end of this year. If Tri-County needs to continue providing services for us under a contract because of their very complicated financial setup, that's absolutely something we're willing to talk about. What we're not willing to talk about any longer is for unelected bureaucrats in Adams County to be making public health decisions for children in Douglas County. Once we have this public health, this Board of Health established, we believe that that Board of Health in Douglas County can make public health decisions and orders. I'm hoping in 2 to 3 weeks, we are there and we can address the mask order in Douglas County legally for everyone.
Okay, so I just want to very quickly encapsulate, because this is a big issue for a lot of people. Currently, the mask mandate stands because we are under the umbrella right now still of Tri-County Health. But if everything goes as planned, as you guys are working very diligently right now, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we may be able to update that with a different Board of Health. And therefore, we would then in Douglas County fall under the umbrella of this new Douglas County Board of Health, who could then issue a public health order or not. So that's what you just said. Okay.
Exactly right. If everything goes as we have planned, if people pray that Tri-County Health will not sue us to stay and will let us continue a relationship of services with a different governance model.
When does our current contract run out with Tri-County Health anyway?
So if Tri-County Health does not accept that our July 2020 notice of leaving is valid, it would be a year from today.
Okay. But I think it'd be an interesting thing for them to try and argue that your issuance of leaving would be invalidated when they themselves made the choice to go back on the agreement about the opt-out provision. Did the Board of Health, and this may be speculation, did the Board of Health know that Douglas County was working towards breaking away anyway? Did they know this?
I believe that is very common knowledge that Douglas County, I know that the higher ups, I know that Dr. Douglas knows that. He has sent the commissioners an email, and that email indicates he knew that we were making plans to leave, and he is sorry if what has happened expedites that exit. But he pledged that he will continue providing services for us as long as we need them.
All right. You have to wonder if the removal of the opt-out is punitive. That's honestly what it feels like to me. It's like, okay, they're going to leave anyway, then we're going to go ahead and slap our edicts on their children, whether they like it or not. That's from the outside looking in. And of course, I can't assign motive, but it kind of feels that way to me a little bit.
So let me fill in a little bit of a blank here.
Okay.
If you watch the Adams County Commissioner hearing where they opted out of the mask order in Adams County, the commissioners were saying that there should not be opt-out abilities of public health orders. And several commissioners said that in October, they are going to have a discussion. And if these opt-out orders exist, they will leave Tri-County Health. Everybody needs to survive. And so I really believe that Tri-County felt they needed to keep Adams County with them. And that is why they had to plug the hole with the opt-out.
Okay.
That is my opinion after watching that video of the Adams County commissioners.
Well, what's interesting is that it's fascinating to me that someone in a different county would be so concerned about what we are doing in Douglas County. It's like, you guys stay in your lane, we'll stay in our lane. And yeah, we overlap and everything, but that's nuts to me that there would be that much of a push from a county that, by the way, is two counties away, not just one county away, like Arapahoe, would be so hell-bent on forcing their will on Douglas County voters. That seems a little odd.
Well, I'm very distressed that unelected bureaucrats in Adams County are making public health decisions for children in my county, and my voice and my authority doesn't matter.
Laura Thomas, thank you so much for your time. And as a Douglas County resident, thank you, thank you, thank you to the Douglas County commissioners, because what you guys did, I know, unleashed a poop storm of massive proportions on you guys, because there's emotion on both sides of this issue. And you guys are standing up and doing what you think is right for Douglas County. And I, for one, appreciate it more than I can possibly tell you. So thank you for fighting on our behalf. And thank you for making time to come on the show today.
And thank you for letting me share with your listeners the truth of this really emotional issue. Thank you. And God bless everybody.
Well, we'll have you back on when everything gets sorted in the next few weeks. And then we'll give the good news that at least charter school kids are out from under this nonsense. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Commissioner Thomas.
Thank you, Mandy. Bye-bye.
All right. Now let's check in with our news person, Susan Witkin. Some people, you got to walk them. You got to hold their hands. Our news person.
Thank you very much. Editorial person. Mm-hmm, an income tax refund from the state of Colorado is coming to you and you and you and you. 2 o'clock right here, KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
The Rockies host the Braves. Coverage begins at 6. The first pitch at 6:40 on KOA News Radio and on iHeartRadio.
Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the third hour of the show. You guys, we never even made it all the way through the blog, and there's some stuff on there I just want to real quick, before we get into the question of the week, ask people to go check out. Really, really good article in The Federalist about the actual health ramifications of mask wearing on the negative side. I'm so tired of people saying, it's just no big deal to wear a mask. What's your problem? When in reality, some of us actually do struggle with wearing a mask. And I found out I am not alone. And there are multiple scientific studies about this stuff. And you really should click through on this article that I linked. The article breaks down, kind of gives you the big picture view. But take the time to go look at the study, even if you don't read the whole study, and see how many studies that this study aggregated to give you this information. It's pretty interesting, but it certainly puts to rest the notion that wearing a mask is not a problem. For some of us, it is. Just like getting COVID is a problem for some of us, but not others. Anyway, let's see here. What else is on here, Dave?
Got to talk about Watson the dog.
Oh, one of the videos today. What do you do, Dave, when you eat somebody else's chewy? You give them a hug. That's what you do. First of all, golden retrievers are like the cutest dogs.
Is that the big wheel? It sounds like the big wheel, electronic
style.
Oh,
it's a new big wheel. It's a new big wheel sound effect, Coover. I mean, Ooh. Big wheel. Wait, not sound effect. It was a big wheel. What did you get a digital wheel? Is that what's happening right now?
It's not as hard.
I brought out some WD-40. And I had to lube it up a little bit. So
it sounds
a little bit different, and I was testing it out. So
it's flying. Wow.
And I accidentally left the pot up.
Wow, that was like Wheel of Fortune.
It was
going to
be like surprise.
Right,
it was going to be like wheel a surprise. Now it's not a surprise anymore.
I was surprised. Dave and I thought we were being invaded by aliens. Anyway, Watson, you got to go watch. Watson got in trouble because Watson ate his buddy's chewy. And that's not dirty. That's, a bone. So Watson had to apologize. I wish I could teach Jinx to do this. I can't.
I wish I could teach any dog to do that. That is amazing.
We have to talk about this on a later show. So yesterday, Chuck and I left the house at the same time. And I think that Jinx has separation anxiety now. When I got home, she was so looking at me like, where the hell have you been? And then she just was glued to my side, annoyingly. She's always glued to my side. She's always near me. Wherever I am, she is always close. But last night, she was glued to my side. It was ridiculous. And I thought, what is it? And then I realized, we've been home for the last year and a half. You know? I mean, we've been home. So I don't know. Got to talk about that later. And a very interesting story at the very bottom of the blog. First of all, about PolitiFact. There's two at the bottom of the blog that you should see. And then one about they're starting to examine and try and figure out why some people get hit by COVID really, really hard and then others don't. They're starting to drill down on people who got really sick. Very interesting story about, what are they called? They're autoantibodies. And some people have these autoantibody cells. I get that backwards. And that seems to create a huge cytokine storm for some people. And they found that people who never had COVID have these autoantibodies. So now they're going to begin researching that. So maybe now if you go get a COVID test, they'll draw blood, see if you have these autoantibodies, and treat you differently based on the fact that you're now at a higher risk for having a serious problem with COVID. Very interesting, nerdy stuff. So that's on the blog as well. But now we're ready for the new and improved WD-40'd up big wheel so we can get to the book of questions this week. Coov, let her rip.
That's fast. That thing moves.
We're going to be here all day now. Flourish at the end. That's kind of fancy.
And it's not fancy. Gigantic like the old big wooden wheel. This is a little smaller so Coop doesn't
lights.
Have to struggle.
Yeah, and it's got lights.
It has lights. Yeah. Wow.
Very cool. I like that. It's a nice upgrade. Just send me the invoice for that and I'll pay you back. Okay, so what page did it land on, Dave?
It landed on number 195.
All right.
Number 195. Okay, this is a serious one. If someone you loved was brutally murdered, and their killer was acquitted on a technicality, would you seek revenge?
I got some follow-up questions.
Okay.
Do I need to know, like, their situational questions that I have, because I would have a different answer.
Yes.
Now, if I still was responsible for another human being, like a kid, I would have to say no. Because you don't just get to give into your revenge fantasies when you have children to support and you can't go to prison, right?
Right.
But if all my kids are gone and if somebody kills one of my kids, I'm leaning towards a hard yes on that one.
Yeah, I'm thinking at my current age of 72, not married, my kids are grown, can take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. If a really close family member was killed and the guy got off in a technicality, I would look for a way to kill him.
I would probably spend a good deal of time coming up with like
crime.
Look, I've watched enough cop shows where I feel like I've got a handle on where people get tripped up. Not that I've given this a lot of thought, but I will say I've given it some thought, you know?
Sure.
But I think you can be too smart. Like you can think, oh yeah, like those two young guys who murdered someone just to see if they could get away with it. I can't ever remember their names. Do you know who I'm talking about? It was like in the 30s or 40s, these two rich kids tried to plan the perfect crime.
Oh, Leopold and Loeb.
That, yes.
That was in 1919, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew I'm bad with dates.
Right.
So, but I would spend.
Yeah, one of the guys left his glasses at the scene of the crime. That was a big mistake.
Yeah, that's
a huge
mistake.
Exactly. That's how they got caught.
Exactly. Especially in now today's age of DNA. You know, you have to think of all that stuff now, Dave. You don't have to just worry about sweeping for fingerprints. You got to get hair follicles. You got to go in completely covered so not one speck of skin could fall on the ground and could be sucked up by CSI and busted later. So
I think you'd have to have some patience. You wouldn't want to do it a week or a month later.
No.
Yeah, I'll be patient.
Yeah.
But it would happen.
I don't know if I would feel better if I did successfully exact revenge, though, because I got to tell you, I'm pretty staunchly firmly in the I could not take a human life category. It's why if they ever called me to sit on a capital murder jury, I would say that in the jury selection process. I do not believe that I could convict someone and send them to death. I'm just not in my nature, and it's not in my belief structure. I'm not a Quaker or anything, but, you know, there's certain things that...
That's not a personal matter. This would be a strictly personal matter.
Now,
someone in your family, not some stranger that you're on a jury judging.
Well, what's funny, though, Dave, is that if someone were to attack my family, I could take a human life in self-defense in a heartbeat. I've already thought about it. I've worked through it. I think that I did it before I got my concealed carry permit. I had a long conversation, maybe several months, that went back and forth and said, look, could you pull the trigger? Could you put a gun into someone's chest and pull the trigger in order to stop them? And I came down on the side of, if my family's life was in danger, absolutely. And I would be okay with it later. Because I didn't make that choice.
This is premeditation. This is different, though.
Yeah. And I don't know if I think I like to glibly say, yeah, I would do it. I would probably want to do it. But could I actually do it? I don't know if I could. I don't know.
If the nature of the crime was so heinous.
Yeah.
That would put me over the top on that.
Yeah. Well, we see these
stories. It wasn't just a pure killing, it was a torture kind of terrible thing, and then they ended up killing him. Yeah, I'm going to have to do something about that. You know, there was a movie once called The Star Chamber with Michael Douglas and Hal Holbrook, which was about a group of jurists who were sick and tired of bad guys getting off on technicalities.
Right.
So they formed an underground court, per se, and they judged these cases one by one, and they exacted justice on them, and they'd execute these people. It was a very interesting concept.
I'm trying to remember, and I want to say it was probably an episode of NCIS where there was a law enforcement guy who became a serial killer, and then you find out at the end of the episode that he had terminal cancer and he knew he was going to die. But the people that he killed were all of the bad people who had gotten off.
Right.
When he was I don't remember the whole construct, but it is. I mean, it's like, you know, if you watched horrible people get away with horrible things and you knew you were going to die, you know, why not take the chance to, you know, balance out the scales? I don't know. But again, I'm big talk. I just don't know if I could actually.
Yeah, I'm big talk too. But somehow I feel if that moment came where that person's life was in my hands and he was cringing, I would enjoy it.
God, Dave, you're evil sometimes. You scare me a little.
Not if they did something like that to my kid or my spouse. Yeah. No, I would enjoy it.
Now, if somebody did it on my behalf, you know, like one degree of separation, like if I was
so
like,
strangers
hey,
on a train,
exactly.
That,
oh, that's a
you
great,
do my murder, yeah. I'll do your murder.
Yes, exactly.
And there's nothing connecting me to the crime. Yeah,
then I'm going to have to start riding the train and look for shady people on the train.
Look for Farley Granger. Yeah,
exactly. Like sit down next to the shadiest looking dude and be like, hey, man, what's up? You want somebody killed? Let's swap.
I'm curious what does Coop think?
Coover, where are you on this?
That's a hard one.
Yeah, it is.
And the reason why I say that is, I guess it would have been about 20 years ago. My stepdad, his mother was murdered working in a hotel. Oh. And it wound up being a crime that they never solved.
Oh.
But they... my stepdad and his brothers and sisters continued to push. So they always said that if they ever found the guy that they would kill him. But obviously they never did. But they kept pushing, in this case, the Dodge City, Kansas Police Department to continue to look into it. Well, eventually, actually it happened, I don't know, I guess 4 or 5 months ago, they actually found evidence of who wound up doing it. Now it turns out that this guy was already in jail, and but they did actually find him. So they actually, I actually saw them go through that experience of I would do it, but I'm not sure that even though it's easy to say now that any of them could have actually gone through and finished it off.
And that's
maybe in
thing.
That moment if they saw him.
I mean, if it's because we have stories all the time of like people find out that someone, a neighbor, is sexually abusing their child, and you go over and either, I mean, there was one of a woman in the UK that confronted a guy that her son said was molesting her, and the guy admitted it to her face and did not seem sorry at all, and she stabbed him and killed him. And I got to tell you, put that in front of a jury all day long. You know
what happened to her?
I don't know. She had just been arrested. I don't think the case has been completely disposed of yet. But if that's, you know, if you're, if that's, that's a crime of passion that you get on a jury with, you know, 12 people who have kids, you can walk away from that in that situation. And, but premeditated, now you're talking something totally different. And by the way, when I say walk away, I mean, you're not going to get life in prison. You're going to get manslaughter. You're going to get second degree something. You may do some jail time. You may not, depending on the jury, because I'm not sure if somebody said, yeah, I found out that my next door neighbor had been raping my daughter for the last 3 years. And then when I went over to confront him, he admitted it. I'm not sure that you could argue that you're in your right mind at that point.
Exactly. There's a temporary insanity plea, perhaps.
Yeah. But then when you plot the guy's murder after he gets out of jail on a technicality, right, that feels like different territory where it's still understandable why you would want to do mm-hmm. that, but right, not as excusable, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know. The phone number to call, 303-713-8585. That's 303-713-8585. I wonder if anybody in our listening audience has ever had an experience like that. I mean, Kuv, yours is bad enough. That has got to be incredibly unsatisfying.
Well, what was ironic about it is the guy that they wound up pinning this on, mm-hmm. it was a gentleman who had a fetish for older women. So they actually, originally after it happened, they actually interviewed the guy, but the cops didn't necessarily put two and two together right away, and it wound up getting swept under the rug. And then obviously 20, 25 years later, they kept pushing for them to go back into it. And they obviously pinned it on him at that point, but they had actually interviewed him at the very beginning and they could have solved it right then and there. And they didn't.
Ugh, that's very frustrating. I, you know, horrible things happen every day in this country. People disappear without a trace and they're never heard or seen again. They're just gone. That has to be like a lifelong torture. To not know, no clue.
This is one of those questions, though, that we can say what we think we would do, but there's no way of knowing exactly unless you're in that situation.
I got to tell you, I think I would answer for my husband and tell you unequivocally he would say yes, especially if you messed with his family. And you know, he would not be directly connected to it in any way, shape or form. He's killed people for the United States Army. So what, you can only imagine what he would do for his family. You know, I mean, honestly, like, just,
you know, we call our judicial system the justice system, but that's not really true. We follow the law, but law and justice don't necessarily aren't the same thing.
The thing about our justice system, and in all honesty, I think it's probably one of the best systems in the world, is that it's designed to fail occasionally to protect our innocence, to protect us, like to protect people who are not guilty of a crime. And occasionally those protections protect bad people. But overall, those protections do more to protect innocent people than they do to protect bad guys.
Well,
so
the basic tenet of presumption of innocence until proven guilty.
Exactly.
Even if everything points to this person, there's no question in anyone's mind he is innocent until that guilty verdict comes down.
Exactly. We'll take your phone calls on the Centura Health phone line next, 303-713-8585. Or you can just text us on the Centura Health text line, 56690. And when you, we'll be back in a second. We're going to talk to Susan Witt and find out what's coming up in the news. What do you have for me?
Well, just in case any of the listeners are now tuning in and go, oh, I missed the interview with the Douglas County Commissioner, Laura Thomas. What did she say? What about the Tri-County Health? I've got it for you. I've got all the details. 2:30 right here. KOA News Radio, 850 AM. Oh, and don't miss this. Yes, if you are a Colorado taxpayer, you're going to be getting money back from the state. 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Dave, refresh our question of the week for me. Go ahead.
Yes. If someone you loved was brutally murdered and their killer was acquitted on a technicality, would you seek revenge?
I think after really mulling this over on the break, I think I would talk a big game. I don't know if I would actually go through with it. I just don't know. Now, Dave, if I'm on a deserted road and there are no witnesses around and I'm in my car and that perpetrator's walking down the road and there's a 0% chance that I get caught, I might look down as I went past it. Maybe I go to pick up a pen off the floor. Maybe I swerve my car a little bit, put it in reverse, and then swerve again.
Yeah,
I don't know, you know?
I don't think any of us can actually with certainty say, well, unless you've done it before, could do this. I think you can only take a best guess on this one.
We especially want to hear from those of you who have done this before. Okay, so we're Liam Neeson, if you're in our listening audience, go ahead and give us a ring on that one. Just kidding. Well, several people on the Centaur Health text line have pointed out.
But I certainly would consider it, seriously.
Yeah, well, yes.
And even perhaps have a plan in effect. But whether I would carry it out and actually do the deed, I don't know.
Yeah, this from our text line. My sister was murdered here in Denver back in 1977. The guy just walked because he claimed to be insane. He is out on the streets now. He committed several crimes while in the hospital in Pueblo. I've thought about it many times, but I forgive him. If I snap, who's to say no justice? Okay, so that last part got a little wobbly there. Let me go to the phones because we've got George on the phone. He called 303-713-8585. That is the number you can call if you want to weigh in on this question. George, what do you got for me?
Hey, Mandy. So I got a three-part comment for you. On one part, could I? Absolutely. Would I? No doubt. The second part, the other two parts, that is, when all that stuff broke about Penn State a number of years ago about all the sexual assaults on kids, I don't have kids. And this is going to be a weird comment. I despise little kids, but I do have nieces and great nieces and nephews. And my comment then, as now, if somebody were to I ever found out somebody laid a hand on one of them, and this will bring up the third part of my comment. As a truck driver, I know places to hide your body where only the animals will find you.
There you go. There you go. So, George, you have a very clear moral compass for someone who hates little children. How did you avoid little children if you have all these nieces and nephews? What did you just tell your siblings? Hey, come see me in like 12, 15 years.
They're all on my wife's side of the family.
Oh, okay. So you were able to avoid them?
Well, my wife and I just intentionally said, you know what? We don't want to have kids.
Oh, no. I'm talking about if they're all on your wife's side, how did you avoid the nieces and nephews? Or did you just tolerate them until they got interesting?
I was the bad influence uncle from when my wife and I started dating. All of her nieces and nephews were in their early teens.
Yeah.
And I was bad influence uncle.
So you essentially were the guy standing behind the garage with the joint at the family gatherings. Is that what you're telling me, George? Is that what was going on?
When my oldest nephew turned 16, I told him the best places to take his girlfriends to go park and make out.
Okay then. You were the best.
I wish I had an uncle like you back in the day.
George, I appreciate the phone call as always, my friend. 303-713-8585. Let me grab Mike.
I'm just curious.
As well. Yeah.
If George's information about where to dump bodies is based on actually seeing animals taking bodies apart in remote places, or just because it looks so remote, it would be a good place.
I think so.
I mean, I would probably think the latter. Probably.
If you're in the middle of nowhere and you know there's animals around, why not? Or you could just throw the body in a pig pen. That'll work. Hey, Mike, you're on KOA. What you got for me?
Yeah, hi. I don't know if you all remember. I think this was back in the 90s. There was this video of a surveillance video of so that this guy had brutally murdered this teenage girl or something. And these federal marshals were bringing him back in from another state. And there's video of them in the airport terminal. And it really looks like they all at the same time sort of looked the other way while a guy on a bank of payphones turned and took advantage of the hole that they made and just blew this dude away. And it turned out to be the kid's dad or uncle who had some supposed connections with law enforcement.
Huh.
I think I vaguely remember the video.
I don't remember that at all.
It was very compelling.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I did look up on the break that there was a Texas dad who caught a man raping his 5-year-old daughter in the act and beat him to death and ended up not facing any charges whatsoever. And then I found the story of the British mom, 27-year-old, who found out that her 77-year-old neighbor had been sexually abusing her son, went over to confront him because she didn't want her son to have to testify. She wanted him to plead guilty. This guy already had like 30 other charges against him for molesting children, and she didn't know this. And she said he basically laughed at her, and she pointed a knife in his chest, and he grabbed her arm, and she just killed him. She served 4 years in Britain for that. Mm-hmm. But those are crimes of passion. I don't know. What happened to the guy that shot him?
So in the video, what
happened to the guy who actually shot the criminal? What happened to him later? Do you know?
Oh, well, the cops took him down, but I don't know if he did any time or anything, or if it was just he was willing to take that chance for justice. And I think the thing that would make it easy is, let's say I'm on the fence, but somebody killed my entire family and I got no reason to live. It's
there you
so
go.
Easy.
Yeah. That would
so,
be.
And I don't care what happens to me. Yeah.
Okay. Gary Plausch. That is the Louisiana dad who took revenge on his son's rapist on television. So I'm trying to find out what happened to him.
You know, that Great Britain example, the woman, 4 years sounds like a good deal.
Yeah. And she says
I would take that.
Yeah. She's very clear about the fact that she said, I'm not a bad person, but I did a bad thing. I never thought I would take someone's life. I will never do it again. I served my time, but there were so all these extenuating circumstances that I think most people can. Let's see. Plausch walked away from his murder trial with 5 years probation and 300 hours of community service. He shot a guy on camera and did 300 hours of community service and 5 years probation.
Sounds like the justice system looks kindly on these types of crimes.
Yeah, exactly. Let me grab Mark really quickly. Mark, you're on KOA. Go ahead. Did I just steal your thunder?
Yeah, you kind of did. It was I saw that on the Geraldo Rivera show, believe it or not, probably 20, 25 years ago. And it was a man that his son had been raped by the guy that he shot.
And he was kidnapped and raped.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And he was walking to court and the father was on a payphone, turned and shot the guy. And he, like you said, he was given probation and the time served.
Well, at least justice was somewhat served in that case. I appreciate the phone call, Mark. Good question, Dave, today. Good question.
Yeah. Tough one.
Now I have to think about, I like I said, I think I talk a big game on this. I don't think I could do it. I just don't, you know.
Well, hopefully none of us will ever know or
have to. Amen
to
that. From your lips, to God's ears, Dave. Your lips to God's ears on that one. But now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio, of its kind, in the world of the day. All right, what's our word? Who's here today? We got Coover.
Dragon.
I'm
Dragon.
Here. Dragon.
Hey, Dragon.
Hi.
No BK today?
No BK. He's
doing stuff and things. Working, doing a job, stuff. All right, what's our word of the day, please, Dave?
Hey, word. This one is makeable, so get ready, folks.
Well, today's trivia question is also a word question that's totally makeable, so maybe we'll have a banner day today on of the day.
Yeah, get some right answers.
Okay.
Okay, this is an adjective. Logy, L-O-G-Y.
Doesn't that mean kind of lazy? You're feeling logy, you don't have a lot of energy, you're feeling lethargic.
You got it. Sluggish or lethargic, lacking vitality.
I was going to say, is that a loogie?
Right.
No.
That's a...
No, that, if you're feeling logy, you might have a loogie, but just because you have a loogie doesn't mean you're feeling logy. There's two things.
No.
You know, correlation does not equal causation. I'm just saying. Today's trivia question, what does the word conniption mean? Conniption.
It's like having a fit.
Yeah, wild and sporadic.
It's actually an adjective that goes with fit, but it means a fit of rage. For example, Amy's going to have a conniption. Let me say this in how everyone in my hometown says it. Amy's going to have a conniption when she hears these news.
Conniption.
Conniption was a normal word for me. And then when I moved out of my hometown, I realized that not everybody uses the word conniption, but conniption fit is redundant. Just so you know.
Now we know.
People say conniption fit. I'm like, nope, you don't need that second one. Redundant.
That's because nobody knows what a conniption is, so that's why they have to add the word fit.
Yeah, but it's like the same people who say they need to go to the ATM machine.
Oh. Ah,
stop it.
It's dreadful.
Stop it. Okay, what's our Jeopardy category, Dave?
Okay, Jeopardy category for today, government acronyms.
Aight.
Keep your fingers ready because this one is also pretty makeable.
Okay.
All right, here we go. The E in FEMA.
Mandy.
Do a heck of it. Mandy.
What is emergency? But please read the rest of the question because our friend Michael Brown is referenced in it.
Yes, the E in FEMA. Do a heck of a job responding.
And I got that one, so I did. Okay, moving on. Next question.
The O in ROTC.
Mandy?
10 Hut. Mandy.
What is officers? Or officer?
It's off. Correct.
Huh. Okay. Yes.
Okay, the D in FDIC. Don't withdraw. You can do it.
Mandy.
Mandy.
What is deposit?
Correct.
Yes.
This is turning into a runaway, guys.
Paying off.
Vancouver, we're playing this game, right?
Yeah. You guys are in, right?
Kind of like the game I was playing yesterday.
Yell your names. These are not tough. Okay, next one. The two A's in FAA, they rhyme.
Mandy?
Mandy.
What is Aviation Authority?
Wrong. Anyone?
The Aviation Agency?
Wrong.
Avionics Administration?
Ah, too bad. No, wrong. What is Aviation Administration?
Well, sure enough. Yeah.
Aviation Administration. Dang it!
Got to get the two words together. Okay, finally, the three words that put some zip in zip code. This is not that easy.
Zip. I didn't even know that was an acronym.
Right?
So right
yes,
now.
It is.
Wait.
Yes. Now
okay,
you're going to find out what it is.
What is it? Say it again.
The three words that put some zip in zip code.
I want to guess, but I don't know if I can still guess and still win, even if I'm with one, because these two jokers have an answer. Mandy, what is zone in postal?
Nope.
Dang it.
Nope.
Did I get two of the words right?
Well, she got one third of it right.
What?
Postal? In?
Zone.
Which word did she get right?
She got zone right.
Zone.
Zone and code.
Doesn't help much.
What is it?
No. What is zone improvement plan?
Sure,
well,
yeah, right?
Dumb.
That's what it means.
Isn't
it an improvement plan? No wonder they just go with zip and never tell us that it means anything. I still won when they
quickly forget that one, won't we?
I 1-0 to -1. This was not a banner day for a category that you thought was going to be an easy one, Dave. Not a banner day.
Although you had a 3-0 lead, you were doing well until you didn't.
I put myself out there, though, and see, I got my head lopped off, so there you go. Tomorrow, we've got Mike Rosen at the movies at 2 o'clock. I'm going to be doing a deep dive into the Bangladeshi mask study that you need to understand perhaps is the worst science to come out of coronavirus science, and that says something. We'll talk about that and more. But right now, we're going to turn it over because Big Al and JoJo are coming up next right here on KOA News Radio.